Okay, so the last Mishnah in the Perek. Agala shel katan tmea midras. So we are talking about one of the hardest tumot to understand, which we're going to try to do, which is tumas midras. So in general, tuma, most of the time, works that if you touch something, it becomes tame. If something tame, rather, touches something, it becomes tame, and usually one level down. Right? That's tuma. If an av touches something, it becomes a rishon. If an av yavot touches something, it can come above an av. If a rishon something touches something, it can be a sheni. If it's truma, it's susceptible to being a shlishi. If it's kodesh, it's susceptible to becoming a ravi. But the one of the exceptions to this rule is tumas medras, which is if a zav, for example, sits on something, so then it becomes tame. Comes an av, whether or not the person touches it, but only if it's the type of thing that people normally sit on. So if you sit on something that people don't sit on, it doesn't become tame at all. If it's something people do sit on, it becomes tame whether or not you're directly touching it. When tumas medras, so Rashi,
you could,
like you could, you know,
you just hover over it.
No. You have to sit. No, you do have to sit on it. But like, if, let's say you have. You know, let's say you put like a throw on top of your couch, and then you sat in the throw.
Goes through.
Right, the couch would become tame medras. Right, you don't have to touch the couch. Right, you do have to sit. You have to be sitting. Right, but it's not a magic. It's sort of magical, but so this agalava katan can become tame medras. Now, what is this thing? So we have a machlokas Rashi tells. Rashi says agalava shel katan shows lo l'schok v'yoshev lo metaltan lo so ala. It's
a wagon,
yeah, a wagon, and you know, a toy car, any of those types of things. That's a galah shel katan, right? Whether it's the old style, you know, like red wagons that you drag, whether a sled, you know, whatever you want to say, it's some sort of kids, you know, a stroller, some sort of kids toy / moving thing. That's what he says it is. Tosfos says, no, Peir Shakuntra, Sharkatan Yoshev Bisocha. Balona Hira, the Maikamash Balon, Pshita. He said, I don't understand what Rashi is talking about. I mean, yes, it's true. If you have a wagon, or you have a toy car, or you have a stroller, of course they're Tamei Medras. We said, the rule of Tamei Medras is that it becomes Tamei if it's the type of thing you normally sit on. Well, a stroller, trust me, is something that the kids sit in, right? That's what it's meant for. So obviously, you don't need to tell me that that's true. He says, so that can't be what it is. It's a walker. You know, those little walking toys that kids have when they first learn to walk, the ones which now scientists all say are bad for their legs, their back, their who knows what. But those things, those walking...
Those like round things that we put
yeah,
the kids
you
in?
Plop
yeah,
kids
they're
in.
Not safe anymore.
They're
going down steps.
Yeah, because they'll go down. I don't know, whatever it is.
You can't buy them.
You can. I have them. But, you know, well, they're not... You're not supposed to. You're, you know.
The kids we had, right. Not safe.
Yeah, we know. I don't know. Yes, whatever. We've all survived. Like we're all alive. I don't know. We still use everything. Whatever. That's at my in-laws from you know when Aura and her siblings were kids. Whatever. But those things, those walkers, the omedes al shlosho fanim v'oches b'viyada v'imen galgen l'fanav tamid. So apparently this is not a new thing, right? I mean, it's new that we think it's dangerous, but the fact that people use these things is thousands of years old, and at least in time of the Rishonim, and according to Tosfos in time of the Gemara, the kids use them. And now this is, you know, a bit mechudash that Tosfos assumes that even though you're not really sitting on the thing, right, you're sort of like leaning, waddling with it. He considers that apparently sitting enough or miuchadli shiva enough that it can become
like this.
Yeah, and whatever you're doing with it. So that's already a chiddush in terms of what a sitting is.
A walker is also the same thing.
Well, that's what he said. Well, I mean, yeah, an adult walker would be the same.
Which is much more common. Everybody uses a walker. All the people overnight use.
Oh, for sure. And now the adult nowadays, like you see it, like the walkers have a chair built in. You know, you walk it one way, and then there's a chair built in. Like mm-hmm. We, you know. Makes sense. But that's a local machlok.
Would walk through a three
According to Tozo's. According to Tozo's, yeah.
Because there's a seat there, or just because
there's. It just says, right, it's. Because it supports him, right? Because it's. Well, no, I mean, it's not just anything you sit on, it's also anything that really supports him.
Right.
So he's saying this is supports, you know, it's support, it's full support. Yeah, so that's the Chiddush. Okay, but whatever it is, we're talking to his Medrash. And Rashi says, what is to his Medrash? So he says, Imatino Gzav, if the child is a Zav, which is possible, right? A child can be a Zav, just like a child can be a Nida. This is one of those things, the Gemara talks about, you know, a baby who's a Nida. And, you know, everyone except for doctors looks at it and says, what are Chazal talking about? A doctor, you talk to doctors, and they say, of course, 10% of or something like that, of children are born Nida, technically, meaning it's there's like leftover blood that, it's something to do with the connection with the placenta, whatever, that will have a little bit of uterine blood, really left over from the mother, that will come out. It's technically uterine blood. It's halachically Nida. Obviously, the girl isn't menstruating, you know, the baby girl isn't menstruating, but from a halachic perspective, Zav, and a child can also be, it's a Nida, and a child can also be a Zav. In a Tinok Zav, some doctor's going to listen to this and say, I misunderstood it. Suffice it to say, it's scientifically possible, and medically, it's something like 10%, but I may have gotten the exact details of how it works wrong. So he says, you see is that this is right, it's miuchad li yeshiva, that's the halacha, it has to be primarily a sitting thing, not something that you happen to sit on sometimes, right? The Gemara's description, as Rashi quotes it, is not something where you'd say amod v'nasim lachtenu. So like, you know, if builders are building, sometimes they'll have a bunch of bricks just sitting there, a pile of bricks, and they'll sit down until they start laying it down, but you know, when lunch break is over, they say, Amod v'nasem lachtinu, get off the bricks, we have to lay them. That's not called a chair. The fact that you can sit on something doesn't make it a chair. It has to be something which is miuchad l'yeshiva. But that thing, okay.
But assume from Rashi, then, that if an adult sat on this gala, it would not...
No, it would. It's because miuchad l'yeshiva. It has to be something which is sitting thing. It doesn't matter who sits on it.
So why is he sitting in a tinok zav, which is kind of a way out?
Oh, but just because the Mishnah took a case of agalash al katan.
Okay, so agalash al katan.
I assume he's just saying that realistically, right? Who's sitting in this? You know, I mean, have you ever tried getting into the kid's toy car? Like, I could sit in it.
Yes.
Right. It's not easy.
No.
Exactly, right? I've also tried. It's not
on the roof.
You know, and I'm not like a big person. Like, I'm short enough as some of the kids who are sitting in that, but still, like, you know, it's not made for for adults.
Can we put a table?
What?
A table's not made for sitting, but we learned that a table is tumat midrash last week.
A table is Tamei is a kli, not as can be Tamei,
right.
And wood can become Tamei Medrash, but a table isn't going to be Tamei Medrash because a table isn't Miuchad Leishiva.
I guess I misunderstood.
Yeah, no. I mean, wood can become Tamei Medrash, and a kli,
a table was able to
become Tamei, because, meaning, even if it's Pash, even if it's, meaning it's an exception to Pshut Tekle, I know, you're just meaning,
Gemara Menachot or something.
No, that was the, no, the that one, the, no, it wasn't, no, it was just a machlokas with his derisa de rabbanan, and it wasn't Tumas Medras. It was something else. It wasn't the table. I don't think it was the table. No, it wasn't the table. That's the bottom of the first source here. Yeah. No, to me, Medras has to be something that you sit on. And then the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Vinitelis b'Shabbos, and you can move it on Shabbos for a simple reason. The Rashi says, well, the Torah is Kli Aleh. It's a Kli, meaning it is. It's whatever it is. It's a toy, it's a wagon, it's a stroller. It's a Kli, so therefore it's not Mukta. Vein and Nigreles El Algabe Kalim. But on Shabbos, you can't drag it unless it's on Kalim. Rashi says, because, again, exactly what this is, you have to figure it out, but he said, apparently it had deep enough wheels, and strong enough wheels, that Rashi had, if you dragged it on dirt, it would make a, it would dig into it and make a ditch, and that would be usur, so you can only...
There's not a coin to Rabbi Huda.
Well, that's going to be the Gemara in just a minute, right? And the Gemara says, fine, and Rabbi Huda Omer, kol ha-kelem in egron chutz min ha-gala v'neshi koveshet. Yehuda says that this is true of all kelim, right? except the agalav min yikovesh, right? The charetz hanire behilucha lo yidechafira he ela kovesh v'dereset akark of nidash tachtev enase mekoma namuch. It was those offer mekoma. So he actually says, no, this is the exception. This wagon doesn't dig holes into the ground. It makes.
It flattens the earth.
It flattens it. Yeah, it condenses it. Whatever. Compresses. But it doesn't actually compresses. That's the word I'm looking for. But it doesn't actually dig in. So the Gemara just says Agala shel katan tmei medris da ha-samachale, because you're leaning on it. V'intel b'shabbos, you can be moved on Shabbos. Mishum dikataras kli ala, because it's a kli. V'in nigras alagave kalim agave kalim in agave karkalo my timea da chavid chritz. Why can't you drag it on the ground? Because it makes a ditch and money. And this is as we've seen before. Who holds that that's true? Rabbi Hudihi, Amar Devashem Miskavin, Asur Di Rav Shimon, Amar Devashem Miskavin, Mutters. This is the classic Machlokas, all over Shas. Rabbi Hudihi thinks that Devashem Miskavin, right, something which is unintentional, is forbidden, and therefore you can drag something which might make, right, if it's inevitably going to make it, it's a psikresha, and then everyone agrees it's Asur. But if it's not inevitably going to make a ditch, but it might make a ditch, it might, you know, dig a furrow, so Rabbi Huda will say it's forbidden because he thinks unintentional things are forbidden. Rabbi Shimon will say it's mutter. And the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gara Adamita Kisiv Safsel, Vavasal Yiskavin Lasas Chritz. Rabbi Shimon says as long as you're not intending to make this ditch, it's fine. But the Gemara says, wait a second, Ema Sefer, Rabbi Huda Omer, Eina Kol Negron B'Shabbos, Chutz Min Hagala. How can you say that the Reisha is Rabbi Huda, the Sefer is Rabbi Huda? Rabbi Meneke Shekoveshes, Meneke Shekoveshes, in Aval Charetz, Lo Avdos. The Gemara says, Trey Tanoya, leave it to Rabbi Huda. The Mishnah itself reflects two positions within Rabbi Huda. One position that Rabbi Huda says that you can't even drag this wagon because it does make a chritz, and the other one says no, you can't drag any other kli, but this wagon is going to be fine because it doesn't make a chritz. Okay, fine, but basically that's the that is the position of Rabbi Yehuda. So what I wanted to do just today to finish the perek is to understand this Tumas Medras. I'm going to do this again. I'm going to give away the conclusion before we start, but. As we started talking about last week, most tumot in halacha are function through what is known as tumat havara, right? There's transference of tumah. There's an av ha-tumah, it makes a rishon, rishon makes sheni, sheni makes shlishi makes ravi, blah, 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 blah. However, as we already saw last week, there are certain things that aren't like that. So, for example, cherev harei kuchalal isn't like that. The metal which touches a dead person doesn't go down in tumah. It becomes an av. Right, it's an av. So the achronim, in different ways, have I'll give you the Rav's formulation of it. But we'll see it in a bit of other achronim, and we'll prove this thesis. Note that there are certain types of tumah which don't function through havara, don't function through transference. They function through hagdara, through definition. So for example. I mean, the Avi Avod HaTumah really worked this way, right? Obviously, a dead person isn't Tameh because it touched a dead person, and it's Tameh because it is a dead person, right? A Nida isn't Tameh because she... Well, according to most Mefarshim, a Nida is not Tmeya because she touched something. She is Tmeya because she is menstruating. Now, there is some reason to believe that that's not true. There are some Poskim who think that's not true. They think that no, Nida is a form of Tumas Havara. It's because she touched the blood. And therefore, you get sort of strange positions this way. Shmuel Zalman had a very adventurous position that it's not really clear whether he recanted. There's some record. This always how it happens. When a gadol has a very controversial position, someone says he recanted, and then someone says, no, he never recanted. That's you not liking his position and denying it. Some of his talmidim say no until the day he died. He never recanted it. On his deathbed, he was still saying that he held by this position. But that if a... if you could, if you placed in a tube into a woman's uterus, and the blood would never actually touch her body as it was coming out, meaning it would just flow out through the tube, she wouldn't be a Nida. And he had suggested this as a way of avoiding someone becoming Nida if it caused problems like halachic infertility and things like that. So he suggested just, you know, bypassing Nida completely through this mechanism. So there are certain positions that assume that Nida might also be a function of Tumas Havara, but classically, Nida is understood as a Tumas Hagdara. A woman is a Nida because she's a Nida, right? Zav, Zava, whatever it might be, there are all types of tumot that are like that, that they're definitional.
You can't say the cherev is a tumot of Havara.
I mean, it's maybe. Maybe cherev echal sort of is. Maybe.
It has to go down in value before it becomes Havara?
Usually, right? That's usually how it would work because, right, that's, you know, you start with the tumah and then it, as it, you know, there's contamination, but it's lesser contamination.
So if you
secondhand add,
but
smoke.
But the Ramana made a tumah for Shani to
well, that's the exception, you know, that's Xera Atu, Ilana Hanami, but that's Xera Atu of, you know, backward.
So she, the straw touches the blood. And then she touches the straw, just 1 degree down.
Because it would only be... So his assumption is that she can only become tame if it comes out the normal way. Once it's out, right, if you have blood, it won't be matame you in the same way, right? So it won't, you know, it won't... Since it's not touching her body in the normal way, he argued...
It's not
then,
the blood that's tame then.
Right, no. It's the blood in a very... like, coming out kidarka. Like, it's sort of a tumat... you know, of Nagiya, sort of. But in general, there is this notion that Tumah, that there are certain Tumas that are not, that don't work that way, right? They don't work in the classic way. They work through Hagdara. The argument really is that one of those examples is Tumas Medras, right? And as I mentioned before, Tumas Medras is weird, right? If you touch, if a Zav touches a table, it doesn't become Tumas Medras. He only becomes Tumas Medras if he sits on a chair. Let's say he sits on a table. It doesn't become Tumas Medras because it's not Ro'oi Li Yeshiva. If it's about Havara, right? If it's about I touch it and it becomes Tame, so it's about touching it. It's not about A, I need to be touching it. B, it doesn't, you know.
But is it different because there's a specific Pasuk that says Kol Yeshiva?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the point. That the Pasuk is telling you that on a Daraisa level, the nature of this Tumah is. Is different. That's exactly the point. Is that it's not tummy because the Zav touched it. It's tummy because the Zav sat on it, and it's defined as the Moshev Hazav, the Midras Hazav. That's why it's tummy, and that's why, like I said, you put the throw on the couch. The throw isn't, maybe a throw would be a dover that you would sit on. Okay, I don't know. You throw a tablecloth on the couch, right? And then you sit on the tablecloth. On the couch is what becomes Tami Medras, because the couch is what you are sitting on that is Ro'ui to Yeshiva. The fact that it's magical and can go penetrate, even if you don't touch it, shows, seemingly, that it's not really about about touching. So what I want to do is prove this thesis and show the people who don't really believe this, but try to develop develop this. So that, what we were up to, I really don't understand when the numbers just restart. On this, you know, in like, whatever. It's on the top of page 2. It's number 3 and right. Page 2. I don't know why the numbers just restart on me.
You know,
what? Yeah. But so we're just above a comment on. It's just, I mean, the cover sheet was divided in 2. It was last week's and this week's. Okay, so the Gemara in Bava Kama says as follows: Ulitaimech haditanya mishkavo velo hagazul. So Gemara says that there's a Xeris Hakasuv that in order for something to become Tame Medris, it needs to belong to the person sitting on it. He can't have stolen it, right? So if a Zav steals a chair, it can't become Tame. So the Gemara says,
what if it's not his chair? What if I'm in your house?
So then presumably it would become Tame, right? I mean, it's not that it has to be yours. It can't be a Guzzle, right? It can't be stolen. Okay, that's the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilem et gazel imrav avdei mishkav mi'ikolamad emrashinu ma'isa lokani." So the Gemara said, "Well, what's the case? If the Zav stole wool and then he made it into a cushion, So then, of course, it's going to become tamei. Because the halacha is in kinyanei gzela that once you make a shinui, once you change the item, so you acquire it. You have to, obviously, the thief has to pay back, but he doesn't have to give back the item itself. Right? Once the thief makes a shinui, he's kona the item itself, and all that is left now is a monetary obligation to the person he stole from. So the Gemara says, if he stole wool and turned it into a cushion, so it's now his, and therefore if it's his, it obviously will become tamei. So ela mai islach lamemer, what's the case? Gazal mishkav dechavrei, he stole the cushion from his friend. So achanami gazal karum dechavrei, so the Gemara is in the middle of a different sugya, but that's the important part. So Rashi comments on this, and he says, mishkavo, ish asher yigav mishkavo, gzeiras hakasuv, lahotzi es hamishkav hagazal, she'eno nase av hatuma litame adam. So Rashi says that what is the gzeiras hakasuv? If you steal a cushion and you sit on it, and the zav sits on it, it isn't an av hatuma litame adam. What is that, right? The question that everyone asks on Rashi is, what do you mean? Okay, if there's a gzeiras hakasuv, so first of all, okay, we'll start with the Gemara itself. The Gemara itself seems to be another piece of evidence for this thesis. I mean, the fact that it matters whether you own or have rights to the cushion or not indicates that this isn't about touching, right? This is yet another exception to the rule. It has to be, right, not stolen. But Rashi says something weird. I mean, what does it mean that that something which you stole can't become tamei? So he says, well, not that it can't. It sounds like not that it doesn't become tamei at all, but that it doesn't become an av hatuma litamei adam, which sounds like it does become tamei in some way to be metamei other things, food, kalim, whatever. Skip for a second to 6. Tosfos picks up on this, and Tosfos says, "Mashma bitoch peirush hakuntres shiratza lomar mishkav gamur shel chaveiro." If you steal, it sounds like from Rashi that you steal somebody's chair. Im gazlo ein mitame mishkav digzeres hakasavhu. Right? It sounds like Rashi just thinks you steal it; it doesn't become tummy. But again, Rashi doesn't make it sound like it doesn't become tamei at all. It sounds like it doesn't become tamei, right? Litamei adam. So what several have suggested in Rashi is that if someone steals a chair, it does become tamei when he sits on it. But it doesn't become tamei mishkav, because Zav has two types of tuma. There's the magic of mishkav, but then there's also, as when a zav touches something, it becomes tamei, not as mishkav, as an av, but as a rishon. Rashi thinks that zav seems to include a double level of tuma. If it fits the formal parameters of mishkav, meaning it's miuchad le'yeshiva, it's the type of thing you sit on, and you own it, right? You didn't steal it. So then the magic of tumas mishkav sets in, and it's an avat tuma. But if you just sit on a chair and it's not yours, you stole it, so you can't turn it into mishkav. That doesn't mean it's not tamei. It just means that the magic zeres hakasuv doesn't set in. But there's actually a double level of tuma here. There's the normal halacha of zav, that when a zav touches something, it becomes tamei as a rishon. And then there's the magic halacha. But all these exceptional halachos, that it needs to be miucha l'shiva, not gzela, can only make sense in the world of tumas hagdara, where it's about definitions. Because then you could say, look, the definition in the gzeras hakasuv is something that's normally sat on that you didn't steal. Then it can become mishka. But in the world of havaras tuma, it's like contamination, right? It doesn't matter whether you steal somebody's, if you steal somebody's food and you are contagious with a disease and you breathe on it, it'll probably carry the germs. It doesn't matter if it's not yours and you had no rights to it. If tuma is sort of some spiritual malady, so at least some sort of basic level will carry on. If you look at the Rambam in 5, Rambam says as follows. It says, Ein adam mitame b'midras mishkav o merkav, sheino shalo. You cannot be mitame something as a mishkav or merkav, as tumas midras, when it's not yours. Shenemar hanogea b'mishkavo. Gazal mishkav v'doras alav b'lo nigia tar. The Rambam says, therefore, if I stole a chair, and now, what does Rambam say very carefully, and I trample on it, without touching it, tahor, which implies that if I do touch it, it's tameh, not as a mishkav, right, but it's tameh, like Rashi, right? That the gzeiras akasuv only applies to tumas medras, but if I touch it, so it becomes tameh one way or the other. Vim nisyaishu ha-bailim tameh, once the bailim give up, and therefore I am kone through gzeila, so then it will become tameh. Gonav Mishkav the Yashav alav tamei sheches gazer shneyaso abaylim shenu yodim iganavo v'im noda shadayin l'shayish abaylim tahor, and he goes through different hilchos gzeila. The fichach ganav she ganav or chishav alav l'shchiva machshav et moelas lo mistame b'midras aval gazlon ein machshav to moelas imken nisyayishu habaylim. So he goes through the different hilchos gzeila. But the Rambam seems to hold like Rashi as well, that the exception of mishkav of medras is only for medras itself. Right, if it's gazul, but you touch it, so obviously it becomes a rishon l'tumah. It touched a zav. What do you want from it? Right, there's no way of denying the fact that it touched a zav. So it seems like he has this dual level. Tosfos, as we saw, doesn't really like this. Right, mashmir tochpeish akundras lomer shkav gomer shalchaverim gazul imetani mishkav degzer as a gazul v'zeu tema mefarish ri de gazal mishkav dechavre shegazul oro shabalabayit she'enam mechusarin. Ela yichud ve'ein sarach shum tikun ve'ein chaser rak machshava ve've shapir dumya de gazel karban. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. This makes no sense. Why would it be that if you stole a chair, it wouldn't be tamei? Why not? You sat on it. It's tamei. Makes no sense. So Tosfos suggests a different shot entirely. He says, you know what? It's not true. If you steal a chair and you sit on it, and, you know, if someone is a zav and he steals a chair and he sits on it, it is tamei zav. Why then?
It's not tamei medras.
I mean, it is. It's tamei medras. Medras has zav. So Tosfos says, okay, so then what does the Gemara mean when it says it isn't? He said, it's a very, very narrow case. There's halacha called, right, of yichud kli. A chair is a chair. But what about a cushion, right? So if you make something as a cushion, fine. But let's say you just take a very, very soft piece of leather or a soft piece of wool. So as it stands, it's just material. But what if you decide you have a nice big piece of, you know, processed leather, and you know what? You like the natural look. Forget making it into a chair. You're going to fold it up in the corner of your house like a, you know, a bean bag, and that's what you're going to lean on, and that's going to be your chair. You don't care for anything fancy, right? You don't even need to stuff it. You decide it's going to be a baguette. It's going to be a chair, rather. So the halacha is that once you make that decision, it's considered a kli because of yichud, right? Because it's called yichud kli, right? I've now defined this, which wasn't necessarily a kli, as a kli. So Tosfos says, what's the case of the Gemara? Let's say you steal material, but the owner didn't decide it was going to be a chair. So then it's just material. And then the thief says, you know what? I'm going to use this piece of leather as a chair. So Tosfos says, well, and that's what the Gemara says, isn't Mishkav. Because if something isn't yours, you don't have the right to define it as a kli. It's not true. If you steal a chair, Tosfos says, of course when you sit on it, it becomes medras, because it's a chair and you sat on it. The only case where theft has any nafkamina in terms of stealing, tumas medras, is where you stole something that isn't yet a kli, and in order for it to become tumas medras, you need to define it as a kli. But if you stole it, you don't have the right to define it as a kli, and therefore it remains as a non-kli, and if it remains as a non-kli, it can't become tumei medras.
The obvious question is, what do you think Zeret Katuv, and it's illogical that it should be, what do we need a pasuk
for? Yeah, in a chanam, that's what Tosfos tries to grapple with and says that this is sort of like the case of Gizel. Karban.
What does that have to do with...
What is only with the case of Zav? It has any time you want to make a kli out of a clay. So there's many other implications where it's
correct. And you could definitely push back on it. You're right. You're right. You know, you could say, well, what's the chiddush? But you know, I mean, Tosfos says old chesedman basically.
Or bring a pasuk.
No, I understand. Now he right. He I mean, he does have a whole cheshbon that he compares it to the continuation of the Gemara, which is well, not the, I mean, you know, the link here is the gezel karban dechavre, which is part of why he thinks this makes sense. But you're right; at some level, you know, it's a bit weird that it's exeris hakasuv. But that's Tosfos' assertion. The Ritvas is the same thing. Insofar as he rejects Rashi, right? He says Rashi implies that if you steal a chair, you wouldn't become tame. He says, "What are you talking about?" Right? He puts it very succinctly. The Torah says anything that is of sits on is tame. What do you mean? A stolen chair isn't a chair. A stolen chair is as much of a chair as anything else.
Well, let's see. So, trying to say that this is an exceptional rule by Zav. We wouldn't let him do it, but any other situation.
So, right. So this is part of the question of what do we do here. So, Tosfos and the Rashba versus Rashi and the Rambam, there's two ways you could take their machlokas. One is to say that this question that I started off with, which is Tumas Zav really a unique type of Tumah, namely a Tumas Hagdara? Or did we just make a mistake? It's just some other Tumas Havara, right? Just like any other Tumah, just an intense form of it. At some level, that may be the Machlokas, Rashba, Tosfos versus Rashi. Because Rashba and Tosfos basically say as follows. I don't understand. When a Zav sits on something, it becomes Tameh. Who cares who owns it? Who cares, right? He sat on it. We don't distinguish when you touch something, so why would you distinguish when you sit on something? Rashi and the Rambam who say, no, if you sit on something that's stolen, it doesn't become Tamei Medris, despite the fact that obviously you sat on it, right? So one way of understanding the Machlokas is like this. Do you think that Tumas Zav is in fact this exceptional type of Tumah, and therefore it makes sense that you could have these unique, sui generis rules that a stolen item can't become Tamei? Or no, Tumas Zav is some sort of weird Tumas Havara. It's like any other Tumah, and therefore like any other Tumah, if I touch a stolen object and I'm Tameh, it becomes Tameh. So the same thing is true here. The alternative is to say no. Rashi and Tosfos both agree that Tumas Zav, Tumas, like Medris, is a Tumas Hagdara, right? It's unique, it's definitional. They just argue on whether it makes sense to have an exception for stolen goods because, you know, Sam said, why would I have it? Right? Why would I even have an exception? Right? It doesn't necessarily make any sense that I should have an exception for stolen goods. And as the Rashba says, it's kol asher yishkav alav. Who said anything about it being yours? It's kol asher yishkav alav. Right? Anything which you sit on is tameh. So those are two ways of explaining the machlokas Rashi, Rambam versus Tosfos and the Rashba. But as I noted, in Rashi, it seems to be that Rashi himself has a two-pronged level of Tumas Zav, focusing on the fact that only Tumas Medris, only the unique Tumah of sitting on an item and making it the Av, is what is Bahagdara, and therefore can permeate through, you know, the separation between you and the couch. Or can be accepted from Tumah if it's stolen. But there's a second level of Toma, namely that when a Zav touches something, it becomes Tameh because he touches it. And that's like every other area of Toma in the Torah. And therefore, who owns it makes no difference whatsoever. Now, this bears itself out if you look at 8 and 9. So the Rid in number 8 says as follows. How does he defend Rashi? So he says, Nir Ali, Shatam Gadol Yesh B'davar, makes a lot of sense. Dichi Hechi Dim Kafa Sa'av Yashav Alav Lohave Moshav. Those are says, Rid says, look, What are Tosfos and the Rashba even saying against Rashi? Tosfos and the Rashba can't accept the possibility that a stolen chair is not susceptible to Tumas Mishkav, right? To Tumas Medris. Why not? What are they assuming? That Tumas Mishkav is like any other Tumah, and just like when I touch food, it becomes Tameh, whether it's mine or not, then the same thing is true of the chair. He said, it's clearly not normal Tumah. You know how I know it's not normal Tumah? He says, Dibinanam, Yuchali Shiva. We already said. It's not enough for you to sit on something. It needs to be that you sit on something which people sit on. But if you sit on something that people don't sit on, then it's not Tumei Midras. He says, why not? If Midras Hazav is like any other Tumah in the Torah, so why should it matter whether I'm sitting on a chair or I'm sitting on a table? Clearly, the fact that the Torah already threw in rules like Tumas Midras applies to sitting on things which only are sat on, it's a different type of Tumah. So just like we can say that a non-share, a non-sitting item can't become Tumas Midras, so a stolen item can't become Tumas Midras. I mean, why is one exception scarier to you than the other? Once you throw in these exceptions that tell you that you could be touching it, you could be sitting on it, and it won't do anything, right? Then it has very, very strict rules, so throw in other rules, who cares? And then, you know, he asks the question, well, I don't understand. Is this some gzeres hakasav that you need, that it needs to be yours? It's not, because it's not true. Right? If a zav goes to somebody else's house and sits in their chair, it does become tamei. So it's clearly not a gzeres hakasav that needs to belong to you. He says, you're right. It's a gzeres hamelech that it can't be gazul. And then he says, I took off one word, but I honestly have no idea what to do with it, which he says, midi dahave, I should have left the last word in, midi dahave ah. One of the two, right? That there's a gzeres hakasav, you're not yotze. I think it's sukkah, he says, right? That sukkah hagazel, you're not yotze in. It's not a din that you need to be in your own sukkah. You can go to someone else's house for a meal, but you can't steal a sukkah, right? So he said, sometimes you have the gzeres hakasav, but whatever exactly the Rid is saying, his point against Tosfos and the Rashba is, why are you so bothered by exceptions? It's a unique type of tumah. So, as I've said, I always heard this, the shame Rabbi Soloveitchik, which is the explanation to all of these exceptions, is this notion that there are certain types of tumah which are behavara, which are transferred, and certain types of tumah which are definitional, and the definitional tumah are exceptional because, since they're unique, in the sense that it's not about having touched a zav, it's being the chair of a zav, so they have exceptional rules, but I didn't have the rav in writing, so I gave you a very similar point is made by Rav David Pavarsky in number 9, and that is on Bar Ilan, because, you know, on the newer Bar Ilans, they've added everything. They do have the Rav, by the way, it's just the Rav doesn't have a written piece, as far as I know about this, on Bar Ilan. Oh, no, he's right, he does have a written piece on this in the Masorah Journal, but Masorah Journal, I'd have to cut PDFs, and the Rishimos of the Rav, like Rai Reichman's Svarim, are on Bar Ilan. But the Masorah Journals, they haven't, you know, all... They have an OCR, so fine. But Rav David Pavarsky basically sums up this whole sugya, and he says, "Look, v'lachein sover Rashi. Rashi holds al karchach muchrach the din tumas mishkav azav eino din kabbalas tumas shemikabel tuma mehazav." Said, "What is Rashi saying? Why is it that a stolen chair can't become tuma midras? Because tumas midras hazav, mishkav hazav, is not kabbalas tumah. It's not that you accept tumah, that it transfers. Elohu tamei mitzad atzmo. It's tamei because of its definition. Kimo sheretz. It's like a sheretz is tamei, or a dead person is tamei. Tegzeo gzeres hakasav. That is what the Torah tells you. The mishkav hazav. The mishkavo shel hazav. Heve tumaso ki hazav atzmo. That the zav's chair is tamei, just like a zav is tamei. The mitzar atzmo heve avat tuma. From itself, it is a father of tuma. Velo mishum kabbalas tuma. Not because it transferred it. He said, so Tosfos' question falls away. Tosfos, and this is what I said before, according to some of the Achronim, like Rav David Pavarsky, Tosfos thinks that Tumas Medras, Tumas Mishkav Hazav, is just another form of transference Tumah. And therefore, the fact that by normal transference Tumah, we find no difference between stolen items and non-stolen items, Tosfos isn't willing to accept that there's going to be that type of exception by Mishkav Hazav. But Rabbi David Pavorsky defends Rashi and says, yeah, but if you think that the Mishkav Hazav is a unique type of Tumah, so then it doesn't have to follow your normal rules. Right? He said, it's not a type of transference. It becomes as Tumah as Hazav himself. So, okay, so why can't you have a unique rule here? Derakali Deabayam Atman have a din zeh. Yachi shamad b'shem Gaon Rabbi Chil Michal Feinstein shlita shamar yisod zel hadi isaleel betuma toldosein lavka yotzi b'hen. Rabbi Chil Michal Feinstein had another proof for this. Now he may have heard this from the Rav, for all I know. Right? They were right. I never quite remember how they're related, but they're all related and they're all close. And you know, because the Feinsteins and the Soloveitchiks were cousins, so they're all, you know, at multiple levels, they're all relatives, and they all were talmidim of each other at different points, right? Because right, the Rav's grandfather is Reb David Feinstein, right? The same Reb David Feinstein that Reb Moshe's son is named for, and they're all like third cousin, whatever. So Chil Michal Feinstein somehow related, somehow a Talmud, who knows? He writes in the I think Zichron HaRav, Chil Michal Feinstein wrote. So he writes, well, the Mishnah tells you in no uncertain terms. Did Tuma toldosan lav kayotzi behen? In Tuma, the Av can never create another Av. Av always creates Tolada. That's the rule of Tuma. That if an Av touches something, it has to go down a level. Because since it's transferring, it has to weaken. L'chora, ha-mishkacha nami chayotzi bo, mishkav azav, din azav atuma. He said, that's very nice, except there's an exception to that rule. It's called mishkav azav. That the Zav was an Av, and so is the chair he sits on. The Amar Kanal, so Rechil Michal Feinstein said, yeah, the Mishkav Azav eino Talada Klal, because this isn't part of the world of Avot and Talada, the world of transference. It's the world of Hagdarot, it's the world of definitional Tumot. And yeah, if you were talking the Av HaTumot, well, there's Mace, and there's Sheretz, and there's Zav, and there's Mishkav Azav. Another example, for you know, I...
Of course, the difference between them is that they're not, that only Mishkav Azav is derivative.
Well, there are others. So if you look at 10, I gave you the list from the Rav, right? The Rav had three other examples, as I heard from Donnie Wolf. One was Nivlo Zof Tahar, right? That the person who swallows the Nivela of a kosher bird becomes, right, an Av HaTuma. Only that case. If he touches it, doesn't matter. Only if he eats the Nivla Zof Tahar, and only if he swallows it derech beis abliyeh, has to swallow it normally, right? Then he becomes an avatuma. Another example, the soref para, and this is, you know, the famous problem with the para aduma. The para aduma isn't tamei, but the person who burns it becomes tamei. How could that be? Right, that's the whole question, right? Shlomo HaMelech, I don't understand. The para aduma itself is tahor, but the person who burned the ashes of the para aduma is tamei. Well, that's clearly not Tumas Havara, because the Tumah was created from nowhere, right? The Parah itself is Tahor. It's what makes everybody Tahor. But the person who burns the ashes is Tameh. That's clearly a Tumas Hagdara. Another example of a transferable one, though, would be a Boel Nida, right? The only way where a man could actually become Nida is if he sleeps with a Nida. Right, then, if he touches a Nida, no. But if he sleeps with a Nida, yes. Boel Nida, right, is another type where you can become like Anita. That's a certain, right, that's another type of Tumas Hagdara. Tumas Oel, the Rav suggested, worked that way, right? Because Tumas Oel, also, you're not touching anything, right? It's a very formal halacha. If you're in the house of a mace, you become, right, Tame. The whole house is an Avatuma, right? Is an Avatuma, you know, creator, but only if it's formally an Oel. And there's all these weird exceptions, and what counts as an Oel, how big, you know, all those things. So there are these other examples of things which are, some of them are, I mean, they all seem to be at some level. There's the classic definitional tumas, right? Mace, Sheretz, Zav, Nida. But then there's some of the sort of derivatives of that, which are also of because they're definitions. Soref Para, Boel Nida, Mishkav Hazav.
What is the reverse logic here? Okay, rather than looking at the Zav, look at the chair and say it's like the Cherev. The same way that a Cherev that stabs someone, the Cherev has a special halacha.
Correct.
Well, that carries through. But I'm saying rather than fixating on the person, to say that the chair has the same rule as the cherev, and that's what the pasuk is doing. Saying that these special objects stay as an of hatuma, because we're saying that the zav himself is an of hatuma.
Correct. So, I mean, that's another way of saying it, but the point is that the tuma of the chair is a is the chair which is sat on by the zav becomes an of. That's,
it means the definition's for the chair.
Okay.
The same way it's for the sword
fine.
Versus the person.
Well, I mean,
the focus.
Okay, but it's, I mean, the point stays the same, that it's not a tumas havara. It's not about transferring tumah. It's a definitional tumah, right? Oh, you want to say it's sort of like that. But Sorif Para, for example, is not that way, right? Sorif Para, right, is the classic example. But the Para Duma isn't tumah. It's not transferring anything. It's not about, you know, it's about the fact that the person is the Sorif Para,
right,
is tumah, right? There are certain tumah that you can't escape the fact that they are tumot hagdara, that they are, right? It's not, you didn't, you know, it's not that you,
but it's not
you weren't contaminated. You didn't. It wasn't contagious, right? It was created by the situation.
Right. But this is analogous to the case of the cherub. Like, it's almost like
sort of. I mean, cherub harei chol is sort of a borderline case in that sense, right? Because it's, you're right. Meaning it's that clearly it touched something. You know, but you're right. It maintains its level of tumah, so that's a bit of a borderline, which is why cherub harei chol is a big sugya for that reason. That it seems to lie on the border between these two types, because like it does need to touch the right, it needs to touch the person. Like mishkav hazav doesn't need to touch the person at all. He just needs to sit on it, right?
On the pasuk, but it's, I'm just saying it's the object that's special.
Okay, fine.
It's not the zav.
No, right, it's not the zav. No, of course it's the object, because the zav touches something, it becomes a rishon. It's the mishkav azav, which is definitional.
Right.
Yeah, I know, for sure. So again, the Rav had his own way of saying it. He calls it Hagdara versus Havara, at least as I've heard it, right? Rav David Pavarsky says it's Tuba Be'etzem versus Kabbalah's tuma, right? Something which itself becomes tuma rather than receives tuma. He says, "Lufizem avur shaper nami madamashmen Rashi damiyat the gadol v'rakli inyan sheino nasa avatuma latami adam." And therefore, and this is what I pointed out in Rashi before, it's only this halacha is only insofar as making the chair tuma and as an av to enable it to be mitame a human being. Avo rishon have if the. Even if it's a stolen item, Rashi seems to imply that it does become a rishon, because the chair can become tummy in one of two ways. It can become tummy in the world of transference tuma, and that won't be accepted if it's stolen. The only time that these exceptions count is when you're trying to be metameid from the chiddush, from the novel perspective of mishka vazav, not from, right, Nigiyas hazav, chen kasav b'meiri, va'beir da'afin eschadesh mishkav shel zav yesh lo din kazav, v'tamei machmas atma, af belo din kabal stuma, mikol makom al kaponim din kabal stuma nami yeshbo, mitzad din kabal stuma, be'emez, right, and he said, clearly it has both of these levels. Next paragraph, v'kevin izbar d'chol gizar z'kosav, di mishkav v'la gozol v'in davka shia shalom, mistaber, devi rak, v'adin tuma shimitzad asmo, right, all these zir z'kosav are only on the definitional component, but the last paragraph, v'alini mashnasa rishon, the fact that it also functions in the world of transference tuma, machmas din kabal stuma, b'zeh emez, lo nizbay gozol, so you're right, in that level, a stolen item isn't accepted because it's not the definitional tumah, and therefore it has no such exceptions. Two more sources on this, and then we will be done. Tosos in 11, Tosos in Irvin says as follows: "Is kol hazav shazav nisei alav tahor." So there's another type of tumah which is almost identical to this, which is what. This is the same one, right? Kol shazav nisei alav, right? If the zav, right, is carried on it, or the zav carries it, right, it gets this tuma. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the tar mi tuma chamura, she'eino mitame adam v'kelim, aval tame tuma kala, kagon lo tame ochlen, umashkan afagav de'eino roi lemishkav umoshav. He said, something which isn't roi lemishkav umoshav won't become an avatuma, but it will become a rishon, right? He says, Tosfos says it explicitly. The ein nira de behedya, but then Tosfos, meaning the anonymous voice in Tosfos, argues on this. Rabbeinu Tam says, the ein nira de behedya exhibitors konim tanya kol shevish kavalav azav yitma yochol itam davar shein a roy lishkiva lo ma Mahi ena matam khula yachol hu vehi lo yitamu tuma khamura va yitamu tuma kala tamalor mishkov ama midi de lo khazi le mishkov moshev tar le gamrei. But Tosvos, the anonymous voice in Tosvos, argues on this whole mahalech of Rashi Rabbeinu Tam and says, no, it's not true. If you have a chair, right, which is not, or you have, sorry, the Zav sits on something and it isn't Ra'i Lishiva, he thinks, no, it's not that it has two levels. It only has one level, the definitional level. If it can become Tame Tumas Mishkav, so then it will. If it's not a chair and the Zav sits on it, then it's Tara Lagamre. Because yes, once you say that it's the Zav sat on it, the only way it can become Tame is through the world of Mishkav.
So even if it's a Kli, he doesn't even transfer a lower?
That's what it sounds like, right? Vinir Lafarish, the Masha Marvatar's Konam Evan Misame Mikala Mishkov, Hanu Dafka Lutuma Kala, Shem Shumako, Mimaila Mitum Kamura, Midlo Haza Mishkov Moshkov, every Tumma Kala.
That's totally different than Rashi.
Well, yeah, I know, that's what I'm saying. Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi, right? Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi explicitly,
right?
But the anonymous voice in Tosos rejects this. Right, so you end up having, you know, if we follow David Pavarsky's explanation, you end up having three positions, right? You have Rashi and the Rambam, who think that Tumas Mishkav can have a dual level. If it fits all the rules, then it becomes an Ava Tuma through the world of definitional Tumas. If it doesn't,
then it still has
the world of Kabbalah's Tuma, the world of transferable Tuma, and therefore it becomes a Rishon. According to Tosvos, no, all the Tosvos in Bava Kamma rather, no, Tumas Mishkav is only Kabbalah's Tuma, and therefore these exceptions don't even make sense. Like the stolen thing, right? It doesn't exist in the world of Kabbalah's Tuma, so it doesn't exist here either. And then you have the anonymous voice here in Tosvos in Eruvin, who sounds like, no, once something is in the world of Mishkav and Moshav, that pulls it out of the world of Havara's Tumah, of Kabbalah's Tumah, and therefore, if it doesn't become Tameh Mishkav, it can't become Tameh at all. Fine. The last point I gave here.
How do we hold today?
What?
How do we hold today?
So this is always the problem with Tumah and Tara, right? We have the Rambam who paskens like Rashi, but Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about it, right? It's not like, because okay, it's not halakha maisa.
Like, what's his first line? Is his first line saying, even if it...
or at least it sounds like it paskens like Rashi.
But is he saying time. That, not about Guzzle, but even if it's a friend's, like something he does not possess? Because he's not precise in the first line.
It doesn't sound like it. It sounds like, the whole thing focuses on Zela.
Well, that's the second line, the way that's written.
I hear. I don't know. Maybe. I it's not clear how Meduik could have to be.
So there's nowhere else.
The question, Tum and Tara is very hard to find Psak. I didn't get it. I didn't look. I should have probably looked. The Aruch HaShulchan Asid, right, which is the closest we get to Psak. Sure, the Aruch HaShulchan wrote an Aruch HaShulchan.
It wasn't relevant in that time.
Well, I know, but he wrote, the Aruch HaShulchan wrote a volume called, six volumes, called the Aruch HaShulchan, three volumes. The Aruch HaShulchan Asid, which is his Aruch HaShulchan and Zraim Kachim and Taros. But like most poskim didn't even bother writing about this. The Chavetz Chaim did, right, on Kachim, at least he has Lekutei Halachos. But it isn't as pressing, right? People don't paskin on Kachim Taros because whatever. The last source I gave you is the following. Is Rav Dani Wolf had the following chakira in this. He said, Yesh lach korem kli eitz haba b'mida eino mugdar kechli chlal u mugdar kechli lamrot she'eino mekabel tumah. So we saw last week that there was a concept by certain types of kelim called haba b'mida. Right, a kli which carries 40 sa'a is no longer a kli, and therefore it doesn't become it's not mekabel tumah, it's too big. So Rav Dani asked, okay, well, when we say that a kli which is 40 sa'a is no longer mekabel tumah, that's for one of two reasons. One is because it's too big to be called a kli. It's like a room now. Right, yeah, it's a whatever. It's like, you know, it's like a mini room, it's a closet, it's whatever you call it, right? The other possibility is no, it's just a really big kli. It's still a kli, it's just not mekabel tumah. Now, what's the nafka mina between saying it's not a kli at all, or it is? So he said, well, tumas medras. So he notes, as a machlokas rishonim, Rashi and Tosvos, that tumas medras, lefi Rashi, kli eitz habab amida, eno yachal kabel tumas medras. According to Rashi, not only can it not become normally tummy, if you sit in a huge chair, which is 40 sa'a, you know, it also can't be mekabel medris.
Like a throne.
Yeah, like a huge, huge throne. It'd be a big throne, but a big, right, but big. V'iluli chi tosfas, but tosfas in Shabbos is not true. The kli shekazem mekabel tumas medris. It isn't mekabel normal tuma, but it is mekabel medris. So nitan lavin shavak chayfes shu mugdar kekli yachol tamal tumas medris. Kevin shekach, and nemar shekli eitz above a midain, a mugdar kekli, hare shekam lo yachol tumas medris, mi negatim nemar shekli eitz above a midain, mugdar kekli, hare yachol yachol tumas medris. So he said, well, if you think that it's still a kli, it's just a big kli, and therefore for some reason it's not mekabel tuma when you touch it, that doesn't mean that it couldn't become tummy in other ways. But if you think that no, once it is that big, it's no longer a kli at all, it's a mini room.
So it's going the opposite, it's twisting it around. Well, but before we said medris, it doesn't become,
Correct, and now we're going.
Now we're going the other way.
Right, that it's correct. That it's about right a non kli right. Being mufka, right. Or is it a kli with exceptions? Right. So just to summarize it again, so you have this notion, which is just important in tuma and tara in general, that certain tumos seem to be not tumas kabbalas tuma havaras tuma, not transferable tumos, but definitional tumos, and that's why they break the normal rules. Rashi, Rambam seem to think that. By Midras Hazav, you have a dual level, that there's the definitional level, if you fit all the requirements. If you don't, you still touch it. You have Tosas and the Rajba who don't really like this, which, as Reb David Pavarsky suggests, is because they think it's part of the world of Kabbalah Stomas, so don't like any of these exceptions. And then you have the opposite extreme. You have Tosvos in Erevin, who seems to think that once you're in the world of Mishkav, it is totally mufka, and it can't even become tumah through transference. And then the last point we just made was, in the context of tumas medras, the halacha that we've seen of kliyates above amida, when we say it's not mekabel tumah, is that because it's definitionally not be able, it's not a kli anymore? And then even by the exceptional ones, by medras, it would be unable to become tame? Or do you say it's just really big and therefore not susceptible to normal rules of tumah? Maybe tumas medras can overpower it, but again, tumas medras can only overpower something if you're dealing with a kli. Right, you know, if obviously if a zav sits on the floor of a house, the house doesn't become tummy medras, even if the floor is a normal place to sit, because it's not a kli, right? So that's just another, just to sort of fill the picture from last week of tumas kalim. And with that, hadron alach yom tov. We finally finished the second parak.
Where's the scene?
I'm staying.
Probably. Yay!
Okay. I didn't convey myself properly, but what I was trying to say is that both Tosfot and Rashi hold it's definitional.
Yeah, no, it is.
Rashi is
correct.
Saying it's based on the object, and Tosfot is saying it's based on the person. So Tosfot can't understand whether it's Guzzel or not Guzzel. If the is on the person, then whatever he touches
becomes... Interesting, right? It's not inherent, it doesn't inhere in the object, it's that the sitting power of the Zav, just like the, you know, his spit. Right. Interesting. It could be. You're right. That would be an interesting. I haven't seen anyone suggest that, but it would be an interesting sort of middle position, like
everything that you've had.
I hear that that he would accept sort of that it's exceptional in certain ways, but only certain types of exceptions would make sense. Right? Like right. You have to sit on it, you know, sitting on it even through things, but not guzzle, because that's on the object, not the person. I hear. Could be. That's an interesting formulation. I haven't seen anyone say it, but then again, not everyone writes on Tumantara, and I didn't exhaustively go through everyone who does write on Tumas Mishkav and Moshev. Okay, so Hadron Lach Yom Tov.